In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, because of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. We're doing, as you know, this series of the feasts that are major feasts. And we're going to do today the Feast of the Cross, or the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. I thought, though, it might be worth, you may know, all of you may know of these. There is this series written by Adrian Nocent called The Liturgical Year, and there's a nice write-up on the history and some of the theology of the feast days. Now, this has just been replaced, superseded, I haven't used them yet, by another series, but they're both from the liturgical press. Perhaps they don't even sell this one anymore. But it would be good to, if you wanted to have this, you can look up yourself the history of the feast and some of its themes. And it's for the whole liturgical year. Maybe you all know about it. For instance, when I wanted to get this ready for Feast of the Cross, I went to Wikipedia. I think you all know that, you know, Wikipedia. And I Xeroxed out on this blue paper the article there, the history of it and so forth. You know, it takes 2 or 3 minutes, either at the beginning of the Mass or some other time, but it does inform people and set them in the right mood. And of course, this is also used at other, the exaltation or the celebration of the cross is also there on September 14th, which is the one we're doing now. That's a feast day. So I want to start, though, that's enough, I think, of the liturgical. I want to look for a moment, and I think we're going to continue to look at this for a while. It's the apostolic exhortation, Evangelium Gaudii, the joy of the gospel. And I'm just going to comment on this a little bit. This, too, I'm sure you know. You just Google Evangelii Gaudium, and the computer will find it for you. It starts off this way. The joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. Joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. See, the key is encountering Jesus. And that was this last holy hour, the holy year, was to encounter Jesus. Well, you can do it any way you want. Actually, that the core grace of the charismatic renewal, as both Benedict XVI and, I'm not mistaken, Pope Francis as well, have pointed out, that this grace, which occurred first among the Protestants publicly, and then among the Catholics, and it because John the Baptist had prophesied that Jesus would baptize in the Holy Spirit. And since this was this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it became known in the English-speaking world as the baptism in the Spirit. And it's well widely enough known, for instance, that Paul VI, on the feast of the Regina Caeli, anyway, on a Sunday. I think it was just Low Sunday, right after Easter. And he said, the whole church should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he went on to define it, as I pointed out other times. See, to understand, to know what was given to us in baptism and in confirmation. So, it's exactly what this Pope is saying here, and this is the way that Benedict XVI also described this grace for the whole year, encountering Jesus, meeting Jesus, getting to know him. You know, if you have a friend, he's the mayor of or whatever town you live in, and you say, yes, I know John Jones. It means you talk to him, you like him, he likes you. And that's it. Yes, I know Jesus. Or encounter Jesus. That's why the first line of this gospel, of this encyclical, is the joy of the gospel, Evangelii Gaudium, fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. That's the goal. Those who accept his offer of salvation are set free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness. When the charismatic renewal first broke out, and it was this meeting with Jesus, oh, we were driving everybody else nuts, telling everybody about knowing Jesus, praising Jesus, singing in tongues, blah, blah, blah. Now it's sort of been accepted, and the Pope starts talking about it a lot. Does it have to be as dramatic as those early days? No. The heart of it is, you know that you have met Jesus. It's from that reality that there flows the joy of the gospel. And that's why the very first line, you know, Evangelii Gaudium is the way of course, the encyclical starts, fills the hearts, the joy fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. Those who accept his offer of salvation are set free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness. Those are the first two lines. With Christ, joy is constantly born anew. And that's true. In this exhortation, he says, I want to do first things. I wish to encourage the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy. You know, somewhere, I forgot where, people were trying to talk to this guy about believing in Jesus and so forth. And he said, you know, I'd believe you people if you just looked a little happier. If you found the treasure of life, the meaning of life, you know that there's life after death and you expect to be in bliss forever, I'd expect you to be a little happier now. Which is, and I've told you before about that, when they asked this man, this Franciscan theologian, if he would check out this woman who had a reputation for being holy. And he went and spoke with her for about a half hour. He came out. They said, well, what do you think? And he said, it's genuine. Such joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. That's the witness, you see. With Christ, joy is constantly born anew. In this exhortation, this one we have here, I wish to encourage the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy. Secondly, while pointing out new paths for the Church's journey in the years to come. But the purpose of the encyclical is an exhortation and an instruction. All right. Now, he starts the letter itself. The great danger in today's world, pervaded as it is by consumerism, is the desolation and anguish born of a complacent yet covetous heart. The feverish pursuit of frivolous pleasures and a blunted conscience. That's the danger, you see? Because of the consumerism. It's like eating, you know? Change everything into yourself. It's the desolation and anguish. Because the heart is covetous. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. You don't. But you have to find that out for yourself. You see? A complacent yet covetous heart. If I'm complacent, why am I covetous? Because I need more and more and more and more and more. And all this stuff that they're worried about the Pope talking about, you know. He's just saying nothing but Jesus Christ can satisfy us. You have made us for yourself, our Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You see. I wish to encourage the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy. It's like, have a little concern. You're walking down the street in a big city and people are going by you the other way. How many of them look not only happy, but even just peaceful? And I'm encouraging the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy, while pointing out new paths for the church's journey in the years to come. So that's why he starts now. The great danger in our world, pervaded as it is by consumerism, why do we do that? Why do I have to keep eating stuff, transforming it into me, whether it be clothes or food or money or acclaim, or what do I need? You see? You need God. You need to know Jesus. That's the purpose of evangelization. Now, you can do it, you know, ask the Lord for wisdom. How do you do it? Start preaching in your own family. And just do it honestly because you love. And you might be an amateur at this, you might not even know much theology, but if you're doing this honestly with love, you see? So they say to you, have you met Jesus? You can say, yeah, at least I've begun to meet him. Whenever our interior life becomes caught up in its own interest and concerns, there is no longer room for others, no place for the poor. You see how this, one of his charisms is care for the poor. I may have shared before, and I know once I did years ago on this website. You know, I used to live alone in a hermitage. And I was praying for the world. And I could feel like all the poor coming into that hermitage. Nobody there but me. But it's like he said to me what he said to St. Francis, or at least I remembered what our Lord said to Francis. He was up at Mount Alvernia, with a, you know, praying. And he was there for quite a while, maybe a month or so. And St. Clair sent him a message, said, Francis, the Lord tells you, I have not called you for yourself, Francis. You've got to go out and tell people about me. But you've got to know me before you do that. I want you to know and love Jesus. I hear that's a very fine experience. That's not going to help anybody. So our first obligation is to know Jesus ourselves. And you know, you can do that in your prayer. I used to do this every day when I was a kid. Lord, I trade you any sin I've got. I turn it over, I give it up, if I can just know you better. That's all. So that's the beginning of this encyclical, and we'll continue for a few more weeks to talk about it.